Frank Maidenberg is talking about his life and being taped in Madison, Wisconsin. Today is October 18th, 1991. My name is Judy Pirati. Frank, when and where were you born?
I was born in Marion, Indiana, on November the 2nd, 1914.
Who were you named after?
We had a relation back there, I think, called Frida or something like that. My Hebrew name is Ephraim, but I don't really know for sure, only by a little inference here and there who I was named after. We were never given middle names, none of the four of us. And once we asked Mom and Pop about it, they said, middle names, who needs it? When you grow up, if you want a middle name, you'll choose it yourself. You know.
Let's begin by talking about your grandparents, though I know you didn't know any of them.
Uh-huh.
The grandparents on your mother's side, do you know where they were from?
They were from nearly as I can piece it together, from a little community like the one that Tevye talked about in Fiddler on the Roof. That picture really was a beautiful depiction of life of my folks in the old country. But it was a place called Podolnia Gubernia. Whether that's a county or a city in our nomenclature, I don't know, but Mom used to talk about how it was in Podolnia Gubernia. And then they lived in the area of Odessa and in that neck of the woods with the relations more or less in the Ukraine area. So they were able to, I think for a while they made a living like Tevye did, only he was more dairy, and they were, Pop was involved in selling baked goods, bakery, and when they came over here, well, of course, they left all that behind, and neither one of them ever went back to anything like they did over there. But
so you think your grandfather worked with your father selling baked goods?
Don't know for sure if the grandfather was involved. My father got involved in that in his developing years, and I think he was either a bakery or a bakery distributor, what we would call them today, in the days when he and Mom got together and decided to get married and then go to the United States. Of course, as you know, in the pogroms that happened in 1905, there were a lot of people that just like it was depicted in Fiddler on the Roof, it was pretty remarkable. That was a pretty remarkable show. We always bemoaned the fact that it wasn't put together a few years sooner so the folks could have enjoyed it, because they would have, because they described a lot of the scenes that we saw in that show before we ever saw the show.
Do you know how many children your mother's parents had, approximately?
I think there was five, but I'm just not absolutely certain. I should have researched this a little bit. Milt has a lot of this data that I don't have, and I think there were five kids in the family, but I don't know for certain.
What was their last name?
Well, since Mom's brother was named Vinoker, then it's only via that route that I know that her maiden name, of course, was Vinoker, and that was the... of course, Tante Chaika, it's not Malka, in Philadelphia. When we knew her, why, it was under a different name, because she was married, and I even remember that name. But I can't tell you.
How many of her siblings came to this country?
I think just... Mom and this Tante Chaika. And what Tante Chaika, how it's pronounced in English, how you spell it, I don't know, but I remember the name, Tante Chaika.
Did she also have a brother, Harry, who came?
Harry and his wife, Edith, lived down the street from us in Marion. And I remember I'm the youngest of four sons, and her brother, Harry, my wife, my mother's brother, Harry, had four daughters. And as a matter of fact, the youngest thing I can remember in my life is at 4 years old when Uncle Harry came in, and we were sort of dancing like some of these Israeli dances today. The Malchuma is Fartik. The war is over. That was in 1918. And then I remember that almost vividly, and yet I don't remember anything else about those years for several years later, but the end of World War I, I remember Harry came in and we were sort of dancing a, what do you call them, you know, when you get the big circle, and that started in Russia, not in Israel, because I remember we did it when I was 4 years old. But anyway, as their kids, as the kids started to grow up, my dad was making a reasonably good living, and there's an interesting story connected there where how he happened to get to Marion and what he was doing then. But my dad left New York just like Harry when they realized that if they were going to learn to speak English, they had to get away from those areas where they didn't have to speak English. And yet, in spite of that, Harry and his wife realized that the four daughters were going to be handicapped in their ability to meet Jewish potentials, and they decided to go back to the New York area so they could meet more Jewish people, more Jewish gentlemen. And I remember their oldest daughter was named Minnie, and she was an accomplished pianist. And then tragically, after they got to New York, and she developed some kind of a treacherous disease of that era, and she passed away within a few years after they moved to New York. And it was I remember it being a terrible tragedy, and everybody's, the whole family's involvement at that time. So to this day now, there is one, two, see, Edith, Phyllis. I think there's three of the girls still alive today. They're quite elderly and quite feeble, but they're still there. Of course, one of them never married, and she still works a sweater factory or something in New York, and is sort of shy and bashful. We rarely ever get her to come out to visit. Also, she used to come out once in a while when Mom was living, and we had quite a picnic with him. So that's about the most vivid recollection of any relations on my mother's side of the family. There was a relation and other relations in Philadelphia, but because Harry and Edith lived in Marion, we remember them better.
Did your mother ever tell you stories about her parents in Russia?
Oh, I'm sure they did, but I don't remember any specific kind of stories. I know they used to talk about the how the pogrom started, and all of a sudden people that they had known and lived with and did business with and everything almost by law had to become anti-Semitic. And they never could understand that. And again, I refer back to the better depiction of that era when Fiddler on the Roof. It was just a fantastically accurate depiction of the life that my folks referred to there. But she used to talk about the Friday night dinners and how her mother and family made the wonderful Yontov Tikkur weekend meals, you know, for Shabbat, and but I don't remember any specific things that tied us to that era.
Do you know when your grandparents died?
No.
Where were your grandparents on your father's side from?
from the Odessa, Kiev area. Again, he was her. My mother's folks were more in the Ukraine area, which is just a little different direction from. The meeting place was in Odessa, and this Podolny Gubernia was the town that they lived in, and as I recall, where Mom and Papa got acquainted. I'm not even sure that I was ever able to find Podolny Gubernia in a map, because I don't know how they'd spell it.
What were your grandparents' names, your father's parents?
Solomon Maidenberg and Pearl Riza Maidenberg. Solomon was born around 1850, and that was my father's parents. We had more contact with them, and I know a little bit more about that side of the family than on my mother's side for some reason. But I do remember, as I indicated before, the Vinoker family, because we call them Vinokur in those days. I think of him every time I hear Sandy Van Oker on the radio and television.
What do you know about Solomon and Pearl's lives in Russia? Do you know anything about them?
No. By today's standards, they had poor, difficult times, but beyond that, I don't know. We'll be finding out, because some distant relations of theirs have... One distant relation that hardly knows us landed in the New York side, and one in San Francisco, and so we're going to have some distant relations that we're going to get a little bit more information from.
How many children did Solomon and Pearl have?
They had Solomon and Pearl, that's my father's parents, had Elka and Goldie and Manya and Esther and Joseph, and of course Dovid, as they call Pop. There was a Malka. I'm not certain about that, but that gives you a little idea.
Other than your aunt Esther, did you know any of these other aunts or uncles?
You mean on my father's side?
Yes.
No.
So none of
there was. There was. Wait a minute. Now that's not correct. There was an Esther Rosen, who was my father's sister, who married a guy that never got settled down with anything, any place. But they lived in Marion for a while. Esther, and that's my father's brother, and they looked very much alike. They're no longer living, but we do have contact with. Sylvia Greenberg, who is Esther's daughter, who lives in out in the West now and has several kids, and we do see her now and then. And she's a very lovely person.
Did any of your father's brothers and sisters, other than Esther, leave Russia that you know of?
No, but I remember a story that Pop told us once about a brother of his, and I'm not certain which one it is, whether it was Joseph. But I remember Mom told me about how they struggled to save up money for him to come to the United States. And I don't remember what year it was, but as I recall the story, they sent him the equivalent of $1,500, which was a lot of money in those days, so that he and his family could come to America. And I don't know just what happened, but I know there was a big breakdown in the family communication between Pop and his brother, because after they got this money, they were so wealthy over there that they decided maybe they didn't have to leave after all. So... I can imagine that for many, many years there was no communication there, and there was a lot of family boat rocking as a result of that. But that's the way it goes. That's $1,500 was a small fortune over there.
Yes. Do you know how your grandfather Solomon made a living?
Not for sure, no.
When did these grandparents die?
Solomon died in 1930, and Pearl in 41. I think those dates are pretty accurate. That was pretty general. We didn't have enough contact with him to even be aware of it, as I recall, when it happened. But these things were pieced together by one branch of the family that settled in Israel, and one branch of the family that Pop used to keep. I got to tell you about Pop, because that fits into this whole thing. He was a very good student, and he had never learned to speak any English. And when he realized that he had to, he went to work on it. And as a matter of fact, he left the New York ghetto area after two of the four kids were born, to get away from there, so they would be forced to learn English. And he not only taught himself reading and writing in English, but I remember to this day how Papa used to come home from the dry goods store. He was running in a little town called Gas City, not very far from Marion, and he would read a Yiddish newspaper, Der Tag, and another one from cover to cover, and he would read the local newspaper, all self-taught. I just can't imagine that, but he did keep his books in the little store in Hebrew, because it was easier for him. And I remember once we had a IRS examination, and the IRS people looked at these records, they turned over this upside down and right side up, and they said, they forget it. It wasn't a big enough deal for him to call in interpreters or anything, but in those days they used to have people out in the field that check these things. But he was a very bright student, and how you could self-teach, self-learn a language to the extent that you could read the newspaper, and he spoke understandable English, and had a little dry goods store in Gas City. We'll go into that later, how it all came about. But he had a fantastic memory, and all of his customers, when they would come in the little store, Indiana dry goods store, all of his customers, he knew their family, he knew their grandparents, he knew the kids that were in school, and he asked about them and talked about them, and sent back gifts for wedding occasions. Almost all of his customers, I never could figure out how he remembered all the names of all the customers that did business with him in his store. It was quite amazing.
So your father spoke Yiddish in the home?
Yes. Mom and Pop always spoke Yiddish. And we spoke English, of course, and they responded. But their language at home was always Yiddish, which is a wonderful language with words that just defy singular translation, you know. You can't find words that are as convenient as some of the Yiddish words that have many meanings, but in the context of the sentence where they're being used, they come through very clear. You speak much Yiddish?
No.
You don't? Okay, you understand that.
So they spoke Yiddish at home. Your father also knew Hebrew.
He read Hebrew, but they when Mom and Pop wanted to talk without the kids getting involved, they spoke Russian. And I could say Vatayom, or what time is it, or a few little things like that in Russian, but none of us kids ever learned to speak Russian, because that was a sort of private language. But Yiddish was our family home language.
When did your Aunt Esther emigrate?
I guess they came to came to Canada and lived in Canada for a while. Her husband was from Canada. I don't know how they met, but I really can't answer that for certain. But She was a little younger than Pop, so...
So she came after your father?
Yes.
Did your father help bring her out of Russia?
I don't think so. I don't know if they were in touch with one another at that time. But I don't remember very much about that.
Who was her husband?
Her husband was, name was Rosen, and he was sort of was a nice guy, and he used to, I can see him davening in the shul, and he davened with such exuberance that he was always the center of attraction there. But in real life, he was... not very successful in anything he tackled. He got in more trouble than he did in his successes. I remember we used to help him out, and he always had a great idea that never materialized, and he had to come back for another try. But he was a nice guy.
What was your father's relationship with his sister, Esther, like?
It was a very good relationship, but it was hampered to a degree by the husband that she married, because no one ever knew when he was answering a question or discussing things whether he was telling the truth or whether the story would change drastically a week later. So but Esther and my father always had a very good relationship.
As a child, were you very close to your Aunt Esther?
No, at that time, when I was a child, Aunt Esther was living in Canada. It was after I grew up a little bit that they moved to Marion, because I guess they, not a very nice thing to say, but I guess Mr. Rosen had exerted all of the efforts he could where he was, and he came down to start over again in Indiana. But he was just that kind of a nice personality, a delightful guy, but you just never knew when he was telling you the exact truth or not.
Were your parents the first members of your family to settle in this country?
The first members of our family? Yes. I had to follow that for a minute, but they came over here in 1905. As you recall, the crescendo of the pogroms in Russia had sort of almost peaked in 1904 and 5, and they decided that they had to leave all of their belongings there. He was reasonably well-to-do. Dad was always a good businessman, a hard worker. And we've got a picture of Mom and Pop, a very handsome couple. But they left everything, practically everything, and had to come over here and start from scratch. He was... making a living in the ghetto in the New York area, selling peace goods, and that became his main method of making a living. And they moved from New York to Harrisburg after the realization that they had to learn to speak and read and write English, and they're never going to do it where they didn't have to. And my brother Milt, who's the third son, was born in Harrisburg, and then I was born in Marion.
Let's go back a little bit to their lives in Russia. Do you know where your mother was born and when she was born?
Not for sure. She was born in that area there, whether it was just Podolny Gubernia, it was not very far from Odessa in that area. It was about 1969 that Mom died. She was 84 years old, and that's about all I remember about the background of the parents. They were very hard working in Russia, I know that, but they enjoyed it because they had a nice Jewish community there, and they always got along good with the non-Jewish aspects. Again, going back to Fiddler on the Roof, who was accurately described in that tremendous show.
Was her family very religious or observant?
They were I guess everybody was Orthodox and observant, but by today's standard, they would be almost extremists. But it was routine in those days. There, they got together for holidays and celebrated their holidays, and they frequently spoke of the guests and friends and schnorrers that visited different communities in those days when. For Friday night dinner. Friday night Shabbat dinners were always special. Mom always made fresh challah baked from scratch. We did it in this country too, but she used to talk about the chicken in the pot and the challah in Russia just as if it were routine. Every Friday was a very special Yontov Dikur dinner. Yontov Dikur, holiday dinner, holiday meal, but all of the holidays that we sort of take for granted and sometimes participate in, they were almost routine for them. That was their life. Their life was everything was built around the nice holidays and the guests and the kids and their problems growing up.
Were you ever told about any of the prevailing superstitions as they might have affected your mother?
Oh, none that I can recall, but they did have a lot of what I would call idiosyncrasies that were really customs. I don't remember very much of that, but they did have a lot of that, I know. About the horse that they had in the family, and I can't remember. I can't remember that, no.
Do you know how much schooling your mother had?
She didn't have nearly as much schooling as Pop did. She kept it covered up pretty well, but she never learned really to read or write.
In any language?
In any language.
So did she never learned then to read English either?
No. But yet she was very bright and took it out on a whole lot of, what didn't come out on one side came out on the other side. But she knew how to talk business with everybody, and people didn't even realize that she had so little education.
Did your mother ever describe her family life, her brothers and her sisters?
Only that it was very poor and very difficult, that they accepted as routine in those days. But not to any degree that I can recall, no.
Did she have a job before she was married?
I think the only job she had was helping people cook and run households and have children and things like that. But no, I don't think that she was quite young when she got married. She was a teenager, I think, or 19.
When was your father born?
He was born as nearly as we were able to determine, I think, in 1880, I think. Well, I think we got some of the records from his old naturalization papers. As a matter of fact, we found some old papers that indicated that our name was really Meidenberg, spelled M-E-I instead of M-A-I, and how it got changed. You've heard stories about how things got mixed up in Ellis Island.